This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. It's an honor to greet all you listeners, wherever you are on the radio here on WCNO today. And you're tuning in to a program that we've been on for 21 plus years. And we want to thank all you that's listened a lot. And we heard from a lot of people at our Bible Marathon that listened to the program. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. If you can't, we do offer CDs and you can listen to it later if you only get part of it. But we welcome you to the program and it's an honor. And we just thank God for our Bible Marathon, right, Pastor Donna? It went so good. We were not as active in it as we have been, but we were spent a few hours each day down there. And the couple that took it over, Eddie and Joanne Rodriguez, they did an incredible job for God. And so I'm so honored. It was just precious. We had a lot of rain, but that was all right. But it went really well. And so we read the entire Bible, again, over Stewart, Martin County, the Treasure Coast, for another year, number 18. It was wonderful. So we're honored to be here, right?
Amen. We are. We're blessed to be here. And it was a wonderful time. And, you know, that there were very few gaps. Time we started reading.
That's right.
The chart was pretty much full.
Yes. You know? That's right.
And yes. So it was really good. And, you know, people came from different places and some new people.
That's right.
And some people who have read every single year for the last how many years?
18 years.
So we're just blessed, and we just thank the Lord that His word has gone out again from this county and from the Banshell towards Jerusalem, and we just give God the glory. Give
Amen.
God the glory, and we thank every person that prayed and every person that took part.
Just, even the read. Commissioners that supported it.
Amen.
City and
I,
county.
I want to make a special thanks to Elmira Ganey. She came down and opened up with prayer. And started reading in Genesis 1:1. So thank you, Doc. Thank you.
It wasn't Elmira Ganey, honey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're thinking about a few years ago.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Elmira Ganey. She's
Eula Clark.
It was Eula Clark, Commissioner Eula Clark.
One of our city commissioners came
down.
Yeah. And read and opened up in prayer, didn't she?
Yes,
Donna?
She did. She opened up in prayer and she read. And I do want to thank her very much, Eula Clark, Commissioner Eula Clark.
Elmira Ganey was a wonderful lady.
Since I mentioned Elmira Ganey, she was actually the commissioner from the county.
First year we did it.
In 2001.
Right.
The first year we did it, and she's the one who said, she came down and read that year. And she's the one who said that this is something that must continue.
To continue on.
In this city. She says this is absolutely awesome.
Because we thought we were only going to do it for 1 year, but here we are. We've done it 18 years now.
Well, praise the Lord, and we do want to thank so much. We thank Eddie and Joanne Rodriguez and those from their church and from other places that came and took part.
And supported it.
Amen.
So glory to God. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. I'm going to talk about a subject here today that there's some controversy even today in the church, because we see more and more areas not the whole church, but segments of the church that do not believe that God's going to have a catching away, and there's going to be some people caught off this earth alive when Yeshua comes in the sky. They will not go by the way of the grave to heaven. There's going to be a group that will come.
Amen. And before you start, I just want to give our telephone number.
All right, you can do that.
And I want to mention that we do have service today at 4 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock to four. Yeah.
2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Sometimes a little later after four, but that's at Church over on Osceola Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And so our phone number is area code 772-285-7007. That's 285-7007.
Amen. So we're going to look at some scriptures here because I'm basing everything in the book. It's not my opinion. It's in the book. It's been here for hundreds of years. So you wonder how we get off track. But where I would like to start, I want to go over to Genesis chapter 19. I want to show you something here. Glory be to God. Hush, mandalo kosan, that I'm getting excited just thinking about talking about this. Because one day we're going to hear that shout from heaven. The shofar is going to blow and we're going to be caught off this earth. We happen to be alive when the Lord comes back. Amen. So we should be looking forward to that. So we're going to look at some scriptures, and if we look at everything in the Bible, we find out there are some people that when judgment came, that there was a group of people that always were able to, that God allowed to escape. And we're going to see in Matthew chapter 24 that Jesus there's talking about the days of Noah, and then we go over to Luke, we find out he talks about Lot. So I'm going to talk about Lot here a moment. And Genesis 19, you know, Lot was told to leave Gomorrah or Sodom, and he had to get his family out. And I hope you've all read the story. If not, you can. It's in Genesis 19. But I just want to read verse 22. It tells us something very important here. God told Lot and his family that he couldn't do one thing in that city to destroy it until they were gone. Do you hear me? They were gone. This verse 22, haste thee, escape thither, he says, for I cannot do it anything till thou become, what? Thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, which means little. Okay, so he was taking them out. Well, what happened with the flood before this? Same thing. Noah and his family, there was eight righteous people got saved before the flood. Yes. God separated them, put them in the ark, and they waited there for 7 days before the flood came, and so they were removed from the judgment that was going to come with all those other wicked people. So those are two good examples. So let's go over to the book of Matthew. We want to put it all together, a little bit of the first covenant and a little bit of the second covenant, right, which is the New Testament. And I'm going to remind you something here that's in Matthew chapter 13 that's very important, and we'll go back over there in just a second. I'm going to read a verse out of chapter 13 for you. Hallelujah. It happens to be in chapter 13, verse 52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe, what is a scribe? He was a scholar in that day in the Old Testament, which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven, is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. So we gave you some things from the old. Now we're going to show you some things from the New Testament to verify. You know, the first covenant and the second covenant, they complement one another. They don't contradict in any way, shape, or form. Now, for time's sake, I want to read one verse here for you before we get to the main part of this. If you read all this, this is when the disciples asked the Lord, show them what was going to happen in the future. And he went through a whole lot of things to tell them about this. And after he talked all about this, he goes into verse 28 here, and he says, wheresoever the carcasses, a carcass is what? A dead body. It could be a human or an animal. Is there, wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So what's an eagle? They're a bird of prey. Let's go to Job 39 real quick. We're going to verify this with you. Job, the book Job. I had a guy one time ask me, tell me about that book, Job, Pastor Gene.
Yeah. Amen.
But it's called, his name was Job. It's one of the oldest books in the Bible we know that was written. I'm turning my pages. I should have marked this so I could just flop there. All right, we're going to go to Job, what did I say, 39? And we're going to see some things about birds of prey that we can fit in with all this testimony we're going to share here with you here today. All right, chapter 39. Verse 29. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. From thence she seek. Well, let me do this. Let's back up and verse 27. Let's read from verse 27. Doth the eagle, here we go. We're talking about eagles, right? Mount up at thy command and make her nest on high. She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. Now here's the key verse, these next two. From thence she seeketh the prey. She's looking for something to eat, isn't she? Mm-hmm. And her eyes behold afar off. Listen to verse 30 now. Her young ones who suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. Who? The eagles that eat dead flesh. All right. Now back to 24 of Matthew. So we laid a foundation here for you, and we're going to see what the New Testament has to say. Now, what I'm going to read here with you, a lot of people have told me over the years, after I got saved, that this was referring to the catching away of the church. But I want you to know, verse 29 in Matthew 24 tells you immediately after the tribulation of those days. So it's after all of Jacob's trouble that God's going to show us this, okay? So this is for the nation of Israel, what he's going to do at the very end, okay? When? At the end of Jacob's trouble. Now, for time's sakes, let's do this. I'm going to start in verse 37 of Matthew 24, and let's read a little bit here. It says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. Well, we're in the days of Noah right now. You know that? All the homosexuality and the things that happened in that day, that's why the earth was destroyed. Well, we have the same thing going on today. It's reappearing again. And so he says it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. Now, verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not. So he didn't know what was going to happen. God just told him to do it until the flood came and took them. You can look at these two words. Took them means they were taken. They were taken all the way. And knew not until the flood came and took away what? We can say took away all of them. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So what were these people going to be taken to? They're going to be taken in judgment is what it's going to be at the end of Jacob's trouble. Now, to verify that, let's do this. Keep your finger there. Go back to Matthew 13. Let's look at the parable of the tares and the wheat. This gives us a clue. It shows us here that the wicked's going to go out first and the righteous will be left. All right? I'm going to just read starting in verse 30. In Matthew 13, the question about the tares and the wheat. The tares are of the wicked, and the wheat are the children of God. Let both grow together until harvest. That's what Jesus said. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together. And you need to mark this in your Bible. First, the tares, the wicked people, okay? And bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So it shows that the wicked are going to go first, okay? Not the righteous. You got that? Mm-hmm. Now back to 24. And we just finished reading verse 39. And we read Matthew 13:41. Now verse 40 says, in Matthew 24, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Okay? But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Amen?
Amen.
So we think about this. Now, I've heard this taught many times. They say, well, this is the rapture of the church. Well, we just told you. It shows you here in verse 29, it's after the tribulation period. So the question is, Where will these people be taken? Are they going to be taken to heaven? Is it Israel? Is it a picture of resurrection? Is it a picture of catching away? Most of the church speaks about it being a catching away. The pastor we were under in Fort Lauderdale believed that for years, the whole time we were there. Okay, now we look right here. Then verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Well, compared with Matthew 13:41. Those the tares are taken into what? Into judgment, the wickedness, okay? And then the others, well, who are those that are left? Those are the saints that will be alive during Jacob's trouble that came to Christ and walked with him during those years of Jacob's trouble. And so they will be the ones that will be left, and a lot of them will go into the kingdom in their physical bodies like I'm sitting in right now.
So are you saying those people that will be there during that time are those people who will be saved during the
There's going to be a lot of people saved, that's right, during Jacob's trouble.
Okay. So it's not the people before Jacob's trouble,
nope.
that, like us, that are saved.
It's during Jacob's trouble.
During Jacob's trouble. Because they'll be going through troubles.
That's right.
And problems, and they're going to come to the Lord.
That's right.
And then they will be, maybe, they may be martyred, right?
A lot of them will be. The Bible says they'll be martyred, yeah. So we know the tribulation period is going to last for what? 7 years, 2,520 days on the Jewish calendar. And so at the beginning of that time, there's going to be a resurrection and a catching away. That the Jewish understand this. It's in their understanding, and it's on our understanding if we have the Jewish roots in our hearts. So he says that there's going to be two in the field. One will be taken to judgment, and the other one will what? Be left to go into the kingdom of God. Isn't that wonderful to know that? So he gives examples right here about it. Now, to verify, this, people say, well, that can't be. That's got to be the catching away. Let's go over to Luke chapter 17. Now we're going to prove to you what this is all about. This is the backup scripture that tells you what this is all about. And if we don't look at the entire Bible and we just pick one or two verses and we try to preach something that may not be in truth, well, then we're hurting not only ourselves, but the people that are listening to us. And I don't know about you that are listening to this radio program, but I want truth and nothing but the truth. And there's a lot out there today that's not truth. A misunderstanding about the last days. I used to, when we had our Christian bookstore here in town, they're not there anymore, but the lady that was running that, she'd call me every once in a while and say, Pastor Gene, there's a book in here you ought to read about some end times. And so they had a section about the last days. And so I went down there. I've been down there. I was there many times. And she gave me a book or two to read. But I started looking through some of the books because I'm a pretty fast reader. And, you know, you look at all that and their opinions, you think God was totally confused about this time. Well, he's not confused. And we have to remember this, that God has two programs running at the same time. Right now, his concern more than anything else is what? Is the Gentiles coming into the kingdom of God. When the fullness of that comes in, Romans chapter 11, well, then he's going to what? He's going to turn to Israel and give them the 7 years of grace and mercy to come to the Messiah, their Savior, during that period of time. So it's called Jacob's trouble. It's not the church's trouble. And we have people preaching all the time on the radio and TV. Well, you're going to go all the way through it. It's not a time for the church, the ecclesia. It's for those that do not know the Lord. God's given them another 7 years of his mercy and grace. And he's doing that. The purpose was for Israel. And so we got to put the context in place where we're at. Amen? So who was Jesus talking to in these chapters? He was talking to the Jewish people. All right, now let's prove this in Luke chapter 17. And I've shared this before at our church years ago when I first got saved because my pastor was teaching in what we just read in Matthew 24 was showing the catching away of the church. And those that were left were going to be destroyed. Well, that's just the opposite of what the Bible says here. So we want to keep this in mind. And so you know what I did? One night I was listening to TBN and there was a evangelist on there was talking about these verses. And he got talking about it, and he was telling them what I'm going to tell you today. And you know what? I got downright mad. I was upset. I could have taken my shoe off and thrown it at the TV. I thought, how would TBN have a man teaching heresy like that? But you know what? He proved it in Matthew 17. And so the next morning when I got to my office, I closed the door and went in the office, and the Lord really convicted me. He says, you were wrong. You need to ask for forgiveness and listen to what that man had to say, because what he said was truth, and what you've been taught up to now was not the truth, it was a lie. And so, boy, that really quickened me. So I had to ask God to forgive me. And these are the verses that the man shared finally on the program. And it went through one ear and out the other, and I really didn't meditate on it. So let's go back and look at this again.
So let's pray that people will meditate on what you're going to say, because
that's right.
Many people believe
the other way.
The other way.
Okay.
So we thank you, Lord.
Let's start in verse 26 of chapter 17. Yeah, we're going to pray. Lord, we thank you right now that everyone will have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to speak to them through this. Your word is holy, just, and right, and it'll always bring forth the truth. It is not a bunch of errors in any way, shape, or form. But we have all these different opinions out here. So I've felt this in my heart, Lord, and you know that for years. You know that. I don't care what man thinks or what he says, what I want to look at. What does the book say? What does the book say? That's why I wrote the book about the pictures of the Messiah. everything that God put in place with the seven appointed times and all, were all revealing Yeshua and what was going to happen in the last days. And so we need that truth in our heart, and we've been robbed of our Jewish roots. So help us to understand here today. Give everyone that's listening right now ears to hear, I'll say it again, what the Spirit of God is saying to them, not what their pastor said that might be wrong or what somebody else said that might be wrong. So we release the hearers right now in Yeshua's mighty name, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
I'm going to start in verse 26. Sounds just like it was in Matthew 24. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be also the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came, and listen to what it says, and what? Destroyed them all. Who did he destroy? Was it Noah and his family?
No.
No, it was all the wicked people. Those angels that came down, intermarried with women, and brought all this half-breed, I would call them, people upon the earth. That's why they're unredeemable. When those angels did that. And so God had the flood, he destroyed every single one of them. Now, verse 28, likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot. Now, Luke's talking about Lot wasn't mentioned in Matthew 24. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Who did it destroy? The people in Sodom. Now, we already took you over to Genesis 19. Lot had to be removed. God told him, I can't do one thing until you're out of here. And what's that tell you? God's not going to do one thing on this earth until his church, the true ecclesia, Jew and Gentile, is off of this earth. Then all hell's going to break loose. Now, verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And then look at the next verse. Remember Lot's wife. She came out of Sodom, but her heart was back there. And she looked back, and what happened? The Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. 33, now here we go. Whosoever shall seek to save his life, his suke life, his soulless realm, what he wants to do and all, shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now he's going to tell us the same thing we just heard in Matthew 24. I tell you, in that night, what night? When the Lord comes. There shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Now I've heard people that are in the world, tell you this is a good excuse for homosexuality. Two men in one bed. You notice the word men in the Bible?
Not there.
It's in italics. It was added. Shall be two in one bed. Okay, so men here can mean mankind.
So it doesn't mean that there are two actual men in the same bed.
That's right. The one shall be taken, okay, and the other shall be left, just like we read in Matthew 24. Now look at verse 35. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Now let's just stop there for a moment. We see the words used again, they shall be taken. And we're showing you that what they're going to be taken to is to judgment, okay? Because the tares have to come out first. Now verse 37 cleared up the whole picture the night I watched that on TV. That's why I had to apologize to God, really, and ask him to forgive me. This man answered this. Listen to this now. Now his disciples were all around, and they answered and said unto him, unto Yeshua, where, Lord, where will they be taken? That's the question. Where are they going to go? Are they going to be taken to heaven? Listen to this. And he said unto them, wheresoever the body, the dead body is what it means, is thither will the eagles be gathered together. And I remember that verse I showed you in Matthew 24. It looks like it's out of place, but it's not out of place. And so the eagles are going to be gathered together, what? To eat all the dead flesh. So judgment will come first to the tares, and then what do we have? And then what? The rest of them will be what? Taken into the kingdom of God in their mortal bodies. Isn't that wonderful? Now, another place I want to go. I want to go to my favorite chapter in the Bible, Revelation chapter 19. That's where we got the name of our church from. that God gave me years ago. I would never change that name. I don't care what anybody would say. I've known churches that wanted to change their name. They thought it would improve their attendance and all this and start all over. No, God gave the name, and that's it. That's the name we're going to keep. Amen. All right. I hope you're getting excited about hearing this. Now, some people may not. They're going to say, ouch, ouch, oh, ouch. I've never heard that before. Well, you need to hear the truth. It'll make you free. Huh? Now, some of these other Bibles says it'll set you free. No, it's going to make you free completely. All right? Now, chapter 19. I'm going to read some of this because this is my favorite chapter in the Bible. You know, 17, 18 talked about all the judgment and this world empire that's going to come and one world order and this global system that we're seeing trying to be put in place right now. And so I'm going to read part of this for you. I'm going to start in verse 5 of chapter 19. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many or mighty thundering, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And he certainly does, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Then he says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him for the marriage of the Lamb. And if you look at the history with this and the understanding with what was going on at the time and the Jewish roots, this is not talking about just the marriage. It's talking about after the marriage, which is what? The marriage supper. What happens? The two couples get married. They go into a honeymoon chamber called a kupa for 7 days, and they don't come out until the end. They go in and they consummate the marriage. So it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him for the marriage. It means the marriage supper of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Yeshua, Messiah, our Messiah, is come. And now you notice it says his wife hath made herself ready. Now, all the other translations I've looked at over the years doesn't have the word wife in there. It says bride. Mm-hmm. Well, at this point in time, you will not be a bride anymore because you're going to be married to the Messiah. We're already been caught off the earth, the church, and we're going to stand before him, and we're going to see him being brought to a place of where he becomes the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and his honor will be there. Amen? So the proper word, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her, the wife, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Hear that? The righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage. Now he mentions it, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Amen? Whoa. I just felt the anointing come here. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Verse 10. This is our verse. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus or Yeshua. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus or Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. That's how we got our name for the ministry that God gave us the privilege to lead and direct. Amen? You notice the word spirit? It's a small S. It's not a capital S. It means our human spirit. Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. The things that's in this book we can talk about and declare out of our spirit ourselves. Amen? And it says, for the testimony can mean his word or his witness of Yeshua is what? Our human spirit, huh? Is what does that. And it brings what? The spirit of prophecy. And he says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Well, who could that be? Only Yeshua. And in righteousness, he doth what? Judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now that blood didn't happen. What this blood's talking about is not what happened on the cross. It's when the grapes of wrath are going to be destroyed in Revelation chapter 14, what God's showing them, what's going to happen to the wicked people. He's going to have his garment's going to be dipped in blood because of that. And his name is called what? The Word of God. Who is that? It's Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. He's the only true word of God.
Amen.
We've got a lot of books out there saying, well, this is the truth. Different religions have a book. Well, those books are all lies. They're not the truth. Verse 14. Now it says, in the armies which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses. That's you and I and all the angels that walked there with, they were righteous with God, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You know, 1/3 of the angels fell, but 2/3 of them are still here. They're with us. So they're going to be there with us as well. And out of his mouth goeth a what? A sharp sword, which is what? His word. That with it he should what? Smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth, here we go, the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. It's talked about in Isaiah. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You notice it's all in capital letters. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls, now here's the birds of prey, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him. Well, who's the him? It's not in capital letters here. Who's him? It's against Yeshua. That's set on the horse, and against what? His army. That's you and I. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. So the beast there is the Antichrist, and the false prophet was there that wrought miracles before him. See, people think that the Antichrist is going to do all the miracles. No, it's the false prophet that's going to do them before him. And they're going to follow. With which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his name. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with what? Brimstone. Wow. I'm going to read that verse again. And the beast, the Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. Before who? The Antichrist, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. You notice it says cast alive? They weren't dead at that time. They're going to go in alive when they're going to lose their life. Cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled, what? With their flesh. So there it is. It proves so much, doesn't it? So I say to you right now, I asked the people at the end of the Bible marathon on Thursday, after we were just finishing Book of Revelation, I said, aren't you glad we're not going to be here? See, this time was set aside for the Jewish people, the unbelieving Jews, that they would have an opportunity to come and receive Jesus Christ. He's given them 7 years of mercy and grace to continue on to share with them that they need to have the Messiah to be saved. And the ones that don't come at the end, they're going to be lost. Isn't that a fact, huh? We gave the example of on the Day of Atonement over in Matthew chapter 25 about the marriage and all. On the close of the marriage, when they have a marriage on a particular day and all, there's a closing of everything because there's a consummation of a wedding that happened, and they go into that coop I talked about for 7 days, okay? But on the Day of Atonement, which is the day I believe that Yeshua is going to come back literally to the earth, not in the sky. What we're talking about today in Matthew 24 is the righteous are going to be taken off of the earth when? When? After the wicked are destroyed, okay? So there's going to be a catching away, and there's going to be a resurrection. First, there'll be what? A resurrection out from among the dead, and then there's also going to be a group of people that'll be alive in their bodies at that time that will be caught off of the earth. Isn't that amazing to think about it? So it'll be one generation of people that'll be here that'll have that opportunity to go to heaven without dying. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you like to be in that group? I want to be in it. Our ex-pastor used to say what? I'm going in the second load. Well, he didn't make the second load. He died before. But the first load is what? The dead in Christ will be resurrected. The second load would be what? Those that are caught off the earth. So it's amazing when we think about all the things that God's given us to show us the truth of all this. And so I think this proves so much for us to understand that there will be a group of people that will not go through Jacob's trouble. And we got the church preaching that a lot, that you're going to go all the way to the end. I don't see one scripture that tells me that. Let me show you something. Go to Romans with me. I want to go to Romans, to the book of Romans. Is that where I wanted to go? I'm thinking here. That's it, where I wanted to go. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm thinking the verse I want to go after this. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm being led by the Holy Ghost here.
Amen.
I'm letting him lead how he wants this to be revealed to you and I.
You just show them where that there is going to be a catching away.
That's right.
Well, the church calls it a rapture, but...
That word's not in the Bible.
That word's not in the Bible.
What's in the Bible is what? Catching away.
Catching away.
Like the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but we know what the Trinity is. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. All right, go ahead, honey.
No, that's all. I was just...
Okay. Chapter 5, then, of 1 Thessalonians. I want you to look at verse 9. It says, for God hath not appointed us, he's talking to believers, to wrath. God's wrath is going to be during Jacob's trouble, not any other time, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake, means we're alive or dead, we should what? Live together with him. Wherefore, comfort one another together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Isn't that wonderful? I love it. I love it.
The word Jesus means salvation.
That's what it means.
Absolutely. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation
through Yeshua.
By our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And not only, it says, who died for us, Jesus died for us, that whether we are awake, whether we are alive, awake or asleep or dead, we should live together with him. So at one time, everyone's going to be back together with him alive.
That's right.
In their new...
What
new,
a reunion that'll be in heaven, huh? Wow.
Hallelujah. In the new body.
That's right. We'll see all of our loved ones,
corruption.
Our parents and grandparents and the people that we love that passed on, and we're going to be all joined together. But the key thing is we must know Yeshua HaMashiach as our Messiah. If not, we will not be there. I don't care what anybody says. I'm telling you what the Word of God has to say. And this is what Paul and the apostles went out and the disciples and preached, and that's why they got in so much trouble, because all they were preaching was what? Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the grave. Amen.
You must be born again.
You must be born again. What's that mean? Born from above. Amen. The same Spirit that allowed you to be conceived in your mother's womb has to be renewed also, and that means the Spirit from above is going to come into your life and change you. Now, I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, if you've been in the church for a long time, you should have read all this. I hope you understand this. It's not difficult, but we need to look at it. Verse 13 in chapter 4 says, but I would not have you to be ignorant. Does anybody listening on this program right now, do any of you want to be ignorant of the things of the Word of God? Well, you need to study it for yourself. Be a Berean. Search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. And if you get into the Jewish roots and what God has given us, you'll understand even more things than you know right now, because the church is taking this thing the wrong way, and we've been robbed of the Jewish understanding. So he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Asleep means what? That they have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Well, who would be those that have no hope? The ones that die and don't have Yeshua. They have no hope. They're going to go to hell.
Yes.
They're going to go to Gehenna, whether they like it or not. That's the way it is. We got a choice right now on this earth while we're here. You have a choice to walk into life or to death. You choose. Amen. Now, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we believe that? We as believers should believe that. Even so, them also which sleep or which are dead in Jesus will God bring with him. See, there's a lot of people died in the past. Now, their bodies are still in the graves, but if they were walking with Christ, their spirit and soul is with Christ. So God's going to bring them back in the sky, and he's going to call their bodies out of the graves, and it's going to be rejoined in heaven, and they'll be with him forever. Amen? It says God will and also which sleep or die in Christ will God bring with him. With who? And with himself. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. I mean, when I first got saved, that's one of the first things I marked in my Bible. By the word of the Lord, Paul says. By the word of the Lord. Not what man says, but by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. That we which are alive, we are alive right now, aren't we? Mm-hmm. And remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. That means we're not going to proceed before those that have died. The resurrection of the dead will come out first that walked with Christ. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, wow, with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, the last trump, this is what we're talking about here. I've talked about this before on the program. And the dead in Christ shall rise, what?
First.
And then, says then, or afterwards, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, not raptured. We will be caught up together with them. Who's that? The first group. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You notice it says in the air, not to the earth. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, let me tell you this. If Paul knew we were going to go through Jacob's trouble, he would tell us how to prepare for that terrible time. Because Jesus says it's going to be a time like there was never on the earth and never will be again. But he didn't say that, did he? He says, wherefore, what? Comfort one another, exhort one another with these words. Amen. So here's proof. Amen. Now I went to 1 Corinthians 15 with you as well.
It's interesting too, because a lot of people say, you know, in chapter 5, it clarifies it, that he's speaking that those people knew the times and the seasons.
That's right.
They knew about the feasts of the Lord.
And the time of the year and all.
When you teach this with your Jewish roots.
On the pictures of the Messiah.
You talk about that. The times, when are the times, when are the seasons.
That's right.
They're the feasts of the Lord.
Everything that
God
put in
place. And the Jewish people knew that about that. Now, Gentiles or the people in the church, even the church today, many of them don't know the times and the seasons because they don't know the feasts of the Lord.
That's it.
But if they knew the feasts of the Lord, then they would know the times and the seasons. It says here in chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you.
That's right.
Because they knew the times and the seasons. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. A lot of people just stop there, don't they?
That's right. They don't
go on.
But
we have to go on. For when they shall say, peace and safety.
Jacob's trouble. Go ahead.
Jacob's trouble, which we're close to.
That's right.
And you know, missiles are being shot in Israel every single day. I mean, they say hundreds of them. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman
with child. Talking about birth pangs of the Messiah here.
And they shall not escape. But ye, and he's talking to the brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness.
That's right.
Therefore, let us not sleep or not be ignorant.
That's right.
Right? As do others, but let us watch and be sober, be awake.
Self-controlled, yeah.
They that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath,
that's right,
which is what you said, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we be awake or asleep, you read this already,
right,
we should live together with him. Then, therefore, comfort. That's what we want to do. We need to comfort ourselves. Comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to go one more place, and then we're going to let Margie. Margie's got some things here to share. We got Miss Margie Swaney here with us today, and
amen.
So I'll let her share in a moment. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15, and I want to read three verses with you. And this is also verified with the Jewish roots. Now this I say, Paul says, brethren, he's talking to believers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit what? Incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery, something unseen. We shall not all sleep. We're not going to all be dead, but we shall what? All be changed. Either we come out of the graves in a supernatural body, or we'll be caught off the earth and put in a supernatural body. 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump blown on Rosh Hashanah, that particular year, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So death is truly swallowed up in victory, isn't it? If we know the Messiah, we have no concern. Amen. So I hope you got something out of this to understand some of the scriptures. And if you don't know the Jewish roots and you're just believing what some Christians tell you, well, you can be misled, okay? So those things are so important to put those in our heart. Now, if you'd like to get one of those books I have, we offer it for $25 plus about $4 for shipping and handling. And you can mail it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip here is 34995. And we'll be glad to get it out to you. Okay?
Margie's going to show it to you before she starts to speak.
We're going to let Miss Margie share here.
There you go. That's nice and clear. God's prophetic calendar, prophetic pictures of the Messiah as revealed in the festivals of the Lord. Or the feast of the Lord.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. Go right ahead, Miss Margie. Anyway, this should clear up a lot of fog in people's minds, you know. They just got to, I don't know, the things Amen. That people perceive is unreal.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Pastor Gene. It was quite good. And I'll also start from Thessalonians and verse 9, that God hath not appointed us to wrath.
That's right.
Or the called the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be caught away with him. And the Lord was showing me about tribulation. We can have tribulation in our life. We can have difficulties in our own lives. So I'd like to share a little bit about that. God will help us through all of our difficult times or our tribulations. And I'll give you scriptures on this. So we thank you, Father, for the pure word of God. You even help your children with tribulation in their life.
Hallelujah.
In my life. In 2 Corinthians, if we could go there. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3.
Thank you, Lord.
Through 7. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort.
Yes.
Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. And Pastor Donna just shared that. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted in God. So as we read and learn how God comforts us, we can share that with our brethren.
Amen.
Amen. It is a reality that sometime during our lives, we will face obstacles. Such as financial. You may suffer physical problems.
Yes.
You may suffer marital tribulations. There can be obstacles with people.
Yeah.
And situations within our own church. You could have difficulties. And we could feel sad, angry, or alone. And also there can be tribulation in our minds.
That's it. You're right.
And that's very, very difficult when it's in our mind. Because these can stem back from, a long time ago in our
childhood, yeah.
In our childhood.
Yeah.
Some people believe that once you become a Christian, all your problems go away.
Yeah.
Well,
that doesn't work, does
that's
it?
That's not so.
That's right.
When you are born again, things do not automatically go away. You're not problem free. Becoming a Christian means...
Sometimes they just start then.
Yes. Yeah, that's when... That's when the enemy likes you.
That's right. He gets mad, doesn't he? Huh?
When you're not born again, you know, you're not bothered by him.
That's
you're
right.
You're already living in the world.
That's right.
So he kind of hangs on you when you become born again.
But Christ is our answer. Hallelujah.
Amen. He just kind of waits for that opening. Becoming a Christian means that you will never be alone.
Yes.
When you go through a difficult situation. We are to lean on him. Our Holy Bible is full of wisdom on facing trials and tribulations.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
For answers.
In John, God gives us, one is John 16.
Okay.
John 16, 33. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. I could even go to 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me.
Hallelujah.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation.
Yeah, it's a fact, yeah.
But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is saying, in our life tribulations, he will give us his peace. Through the scripture, prayer, songs, and hymns.
That's right.
So in 1 Peter, if we could go there. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 5. Seven through 11.
Mm-hmm.
Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Yes.
Be sober.
Mm-hmm.
Be vigilant.
Yes.
Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
So it's okay that we have tribulations, because if praise the Lord, I think about Jesus' tribulation. I think about his always. It's always on my mind. But one way to honor this is by communion.
Yeah.
When we eat his body, his bread, and drink his blood, the wine, the juice, we honor the suffering he went through for us, forgiving us of all of our sins. No one will ever suffer a tribulation as our Lord and Savior did. We could go to James. The Lord says it's good for us to have tribulation, things that go on in our life. It establishes us. It grows us up into maturity.
Builds our character, doesn't it?
Yes. James 1, 1 through 5. Um, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith
yes.
worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unabraded not, and it shall be given him.
That's right.
Thank you, Father.
I like what verse 6 says.
Yes.
But let him ask in faith,
that's
not
right.
wavering.
Mm-hmm.
Also in James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation.
Yes.
For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God.
That's right.
For God cannot be tempted with evil,
Amen.
Neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin.
That's
and
right.
sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Some kind of spiritual death it can, that's right.
In yeah. Christ our Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, he is a holy example on how to go through difficult times.
Yes.
Do we have time for one more?
Or is that up? I don't know. Go ahead. Is this short?
I believe so.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
First
Lord.
1 Peter 1. And you can... elect
1 minute. We have only 1 minute.
Okay.
So we'll catch
Go ahead,
this on the
Pastor
next time.
Donna.
Well,
Go
I was
ahead.
Just going to say as we close, if somebody's listening to this program and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, and you'll be so marvelous when you realize, when you come to that place, how your life can change.
Amen.
And as Margie's been saying, everything may not go well in every area, but if you trust him, he always shows you a way through it and up and out of it. And so if you haven't done it, make that decision today. Give us a phone call at area code 772-285-7007, and we'd love to hear from you in Yeshua's mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
We're just blessed to be on here on WCNO, and you can also find this on Facebook. So be blessed today. We have services this afternoon at 2 o'clock at
yeah.
the Alliance Church on Osceola Boulevard. So come and be blessed, and we just thank the Lord for this radio broadcast. We say Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
Rest. Hallelujah.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.